Good morning. Welcome to the Message of Truth. My name is Keith Greer. I'm the local minister here at the Harrodsburg Church of Christ. I want to thank you for listening to our program this morning and hope that you'll become a regular listener. Each Sunday morning at this time, we will endeavor to answer questions from the Bible, to give you a Bible answer for any question you might ask of us. We encourage you to write these questions to 232 South College Street, Harrodsburg, Kentucky, 40330. We encourage you to ask on any subject, and we will give you a Bible answer. We also encourage you to check out our website, churchofchrist@harrodsburg.com. You will find many valuable resources that will aid you in your study of God's Word. We also want to tell you about the fact that, Lord willing, in the month of April sometime, we'll be moving to a new facility. We'll be leaving the old building at 232 South College Street and move to a new building that is now under construction. We'll have more about that in the coming weeks and give you the new address and hopefully at the time of our first service. And we hope that you'll come out and check us out and come out and worship with us, and we'll give you that information as soon as we get closer to knowing the exact date of when we'll be moving. The first question this morning has to do with the understanding of the work of the church. The questionnaire asks, why doesn't the Church of Christ have youth ministers? And a secondary question, why doesn't the Church of Christ provide recreation for its young members? Well, that's a very good question, and one that I know many wonder about, with many churches today being involved in the recreational activities for youth, and yet that seems to be absent from the Church of Christ. And so that's a good question, and we'll endeavor to give you an answer to that this morning. We want to begin by telling you that whatever the Lord's church engages in must have the Lord's authority for that action. In Colossians chapter 3 and verse 17, the book says, and whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father through Him. The phrase, in the name of the Lord Jesus, simply means by His authority. According to Matthew 28 and verse 18, all authority resides in the Son. He was given all authority in heaven and on earth. And therefore, anything that's done in the spiritual realm of the work of the church must be authorized by God's holy and divine will. And so the next question that we would have to ask is, if youth ministers and recreational programs and activities for our young people are authorized by God, what work of the church would that fall under? What work that God gave the church to do would that particular activity fall under? Well, let's begin by looking at what the Bible says about the work of the church. First of all, we know that the work of the church is evangelism, and that is the spreading of the gospel to those who are lost and dying in sin. In Matthew chapter 28, prior to His ascension back to the Father, He told His disciples, giving them what is now commonly referred to as the Great Commission, to go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. We know that we are to make disciples, and we make disciples out of teaching them the things that are contained in God's Word. And in verse number 20, after we teach them, and they are obedient to the initial plan of God of salvation, then we must instruct them how to continue and maintain that relationship throughout their life. That leads to the second part of the work of the church, and that is of edification. In Acts chapter 20 and verse 32, when the Apostle Paul was meeting with the elders of Ephesus in Miletus, just before he left them, he made this statement. He says in Acts 20, verse number 32, so now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those whom are sanctified. And so we see that the Word of God is able to edify. That means to build up spiritually. And so edification is one of the works that God gave the church. To understand that, we turn to Ephesians chapter 4 and look at verse 11 and verse 12. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 says, "And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, and the edifying of the body of Christ." Notice, for equipping the saints, the work of the ministry, and the edifying of the body of Christ. Those are the spiritual work that God gave the Lord's church to do. Two of the three. And so we see that evangelism is done when we teach and practice and proclaim those things contained in the Word of God. We evangelize. We give the lost the information of what Jesus did for them and how they might take opportunity to take the blood of Christ and apply it to their soul that they might have their sins removed. And then once they are obedient to God's Word and they have become members of His church and part of the kingdom, then they must be taught how to edify themselves and how to glorify God and honor Him by living the kind of life and doing the kind of things that God would have us to do. And so edification is the spiritual building up of the body. Well, that leaves one more work. And that other work is limited benevolence of saints. This has always been a sticky issue with many in understanding exactly what the Lord's church can do and what it can't do. In Acts chapter 11, we want to look at an example of the New Testament church at helping out a particular need. This account is in Acts chapter 11, verse number 28 through 30. I'll begin reading in verse 28. "Then one of them named Agabus stood up and showed by the Spirit that there was going to be a great famine throughout all the world, which would also happen in the days of Claudius Caesar. And then the disciples, each according to his ability, determined to send relief to the brethren dwelling in Jerusalem, in Judea. And this they also did, and sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul." I want you to notice that there was going to be a famine. There was going to be a great dearth throughout all the earth, and it was going to affect many people. And so the brethren in Jerusalem determined that they would send help to the needy brethren in Judea. Notice, they determined to send relief to the brethren, not to all the world. Now, not the church would not be the only one that would be affected by this great famine. It would be the whole world would be affected. But they didn't help the whole world. They helped their brethren. They took up money from the brethren in Jerusalem and sent it to the brethren in Judea, and they sent it by the hands of Barnabas and Saul, who were chosen by the elders of the Church of Jerusalem. So you see, you have what we call limited benevolence. Limited benevolence means it's benevolence that is limited to a certain sect of people. Now, there are eight other examples of this in the New Testament, and all nine of them show the church taking money from the treasury and taking it and helping those saints who had needs in other places. But every example in New Testament time was shown to be the church helping other needy saints. Benevolence to its own. Taking care of its own. And that is the only example in God-given authority that we have in the scripture, is to take money from the Lord's church and his treasury in order to help those who are in need, who are his people. Now, does that mean that we don't care about the other people who have needs or outside the body of Christ? No. We have individual responsibility to those folks, according to passages like James chapter 1, verse 26 and 27, and Galatians chapter 6 and verse number 10. We have individual responsibility to help those who are in need if we have opportunity and the ability to do so. And we will be held accountable for how we carry that out. Look at the example of the judgment scene given by our Lord in Matthew chapter 25, beginning in verse 31 through 46, where one of the things that we'll be judged on is our service to others and to those who are in need, that we have a personal responsibility to help those who are in need. And so the work of the church is spiritual, and that work is carried out in three ways: in evangelism, in edification, and in limited benevolence. Now, let's go back to the question. Why don't we have youth ministers? Okay, we read in Ephesians 4 that there were teachers, that there were pastors, and there were prophets and apostles, but we don't read anything about youth ministers. We don't see a distinction made in a youth minister or a minister just to the youth. And so if we're going to have a youth minister, under what work would he work under? Would it be evangelism? No. Evangelism can take care of the young, the aged, the middle-aged. We don't need a particular youth minister just to attract the youth. That can be done by the preaching of the gospel. What about edification? No, that can be done for all, whether they're young, middle-aged, or old. And so we don't need a particular minister for them. And well, what about limited to benevolence? There's no benevolent need. The youth minister does not take care of any benevolent need. And that would lead us to the second part of the question. Why don't we have recreation for our young people? Ladies and gentlemen, where would we put that in the work of the church? Is that evangelism? No. Is that edification? No. Is it limited benevolence? No. And so what part of the Lord's church and its work would we put recreational activities? There is no category, because recreational activities and providing recreational activities for our young people is not the job of the church. It's the job of each individual Christian, and it's a job for parents. It's a job for the home. It's not up to the Lord's church to provide recreation for your children. That's your responsibility. That's my responsibility as a parent. Unfortunately, ladies and gentlemen, today what's been lost is the work and the spiritual work of the Lord's church has been replaced by these social and secular and recreational activities, and now what is getting done are the social needs, the recreational needs, and the social skills, and the problems that our society has, like homeless and those who may be hungry. And all those things need to be addressed, and we have things in the government that takes care of that. But ladies and gentlemen, it's not the place of the Lord's church, excuse me, to build soup kitchens, to have YMCAs, and to provide homeless shelters for those who are homeless. We have that responsibility as an individual, but the Lord's church has no such responsibility. What men have done is they've exchanged the spiritual work of the church for the secular work of the church, that is a theory and theology of men that did not come from the Bible. And so, to make it very plain, we don't have youth ministers, and we don't provide recreational services for our young people, because it is not the work of the Lord's church to get into recreational business. It is not in the Lord's work to take care of the needs of our youth. We do that through the preaching of the gospel, the edification of the saints, and limited benevolence. Those other two works do not fit into the Lord's work. They are part of the theology of man that have changed the work of the church into something that God never intended it to be. Thank you for listening. Tune in again next week.